The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Toronto proud to announce from Zurich, Men's League Switzerland, U.S. program, Austin Matthews.
As a Billy Box, Nylander gets an extra shift. William Nylander shoots. He scores. Coach played a hunch, and the kid has his first National Hockey League goal.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Toronto Maple Leafs Tip of the Tower podcast. I'm Chris LaCranes, and joining me as always is David Morisuti and Jake Middleton. Guys, we got a trade to talk about in Leafland. Brian Boyle heading north of the border here to join the Toronto Maple Leafs. Solidify the center depth role that Mike Babcock has been talking about that he's pretty much wanted for a long, long time. So out with Ben Smith, out with Frey the Goat, in with Brian Boyle. Thoughts on the trade, guys?
Definitely what the Leafs needed after that game against Montreal on Saturday, where they couldn't win a face-off when they needed to. And this is definitely an upgrade that the Leafs have, I think, they've been wanting for the whole year, ever since they picked up Ben Smith on waivers. I mean, there's only so much the waiver wire can get you, and I think they finally did the right thing, which was trade. Not even, you know, they had the accumulation of all those picks, especially in the second round, and Byron Fraze, who's doesn't have a much of a future in the NHL, and you're moving him to get a guy that's going to help you and potentially be an option moving down the road, which I guess we'll talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I thought it was a great trade for them. Obviously, Brian Boyle's a guy that they've coveted for a long time, especially this regime. I remember they were in the running for him when he signed with Tampa. I think it was a couple years back, so this is a guy they've wanted for longer than just this year. You know, watching that Montreal game and watching Ben Smith play on the third line was painful. And they were talking about it on the radio today, how whenever Ben Smith got caught in a defensive zone, Montreal would just send their best offensive line over the boards, and they would just kill them. I mean, Ben Smith's not an NHL player. He should not even be on an NHL ice surface. So that's a plus, just that he's not playing anymore. And to get a player who's played the most playoff games over the past 4 or 5 years in the entire NHL is obviously, it's not a bad trade to get a guy with a veteran presence for a young team like us. And also to give up a second round pick, considering we got two for Roman Polak, I'm pretty much okay with the price.
Yeah, to give a little bit of background on Brian Boyle here, 100 postseason games. He's been to the postseason the last 6 years. He's played the most postseason games during that span. Only 26 points in 100 playoff games, but, I mean, his track record speaks for itself. Most importantly, this season, he's 53% in the faceoff circle, and like you were alluding to, Jake, with Ben Smith, how terrible he's been in his own zone, that's not the case of Brian Boyle. He's 50% in shorthanded draws, and in his own zone, he's been one of the best faceoff men in the league. So that's a little bit of a skinny on him. Some of the things I've seen on Twitter especially is that fans are – actually bitching about the cost. Not a lot. The majority agree that this is a great trade for the Leafs, but some are saying that a second rounder is too much. Why would you give it up for a rental? What do you guys do? I mean, to me, this is, no matter what, it's a home run. It's worth it for the Leafs, but what would you say to those detractors out there that feel this was too much?
Did you see what Martin Hanzel went for?
Did you see what the Sens gave up for Burrows?
Like, the prices for rentals, I thought were going to be pretty low. But they're actually a lot higher than I expect. I mean, other than the Ben Bishop trade, a lot of teams that have given up on rental guys or guys with expiring contracts have done pretty well for themselves. I mean, if the fact that Vancouver actually made a trade that's going to benefit their future by getting a young player just shows how some teams could be desperate for rental guys but not make the wise choices like Ottawa did with Burrows. And yeah, I'm not okay. The second round pick is obviously a second round pick. I think people look at what the Leafs have done with second round picks and third round picks, and they kind of want to stockpile those and get good prospects. But you also want you take up these picks to do something like this, to be able to be in a position where you can use it to get guys like a Brian Boyle, who I think is going to round out your center depth. Like Jake and I had talked about, and we talked about so many times how the Leafs center depth is not great. There's, I mean, Frederick Gauthier has done a good job filling in, but I think he still has a little bit more ways to go. I mean, Babs is barely playing him 10 minutes a night, and I think Boyle will just give them what they need, and he'll also provide the team with some good experience. And obviously with his playoff experience, it's great, and he puts up great possession numbers. He fits what the Leafs are doing. Obviously he's a big guy, so his skating is, he doesn't have the foot speed like some of the other players, but his size, the way he owns the puck, if you just watch the highlights, I mean, he's not easy to knock the puck off of, and he'll hopefully give Nikita Soshnikov a little bit of a boost on the fourth line there too.
Also, a fun fact about Brian Boyle, he actually got skating lessons from Barb Underhill, which greatly improved his skating stride. So that's another Leafs little tidbit.
Yeah, I think
that was someone I was going to just mention, actually.
Yeah, well, Paul Hendrick tweeted that out, I believe, and she's done a great job with some of the guys on the team that have had really bad skating, and they've now gone to about average.
Okay, so.
And I also think he's a really good mentor for a guy like Freddie Gauthier, mm-hmm. who you actually, for me, that's his projectable. That's the ceiling for him, is you're going to be a Brian Boyle, because he's huge too. He's a guy that doesn't have great foot speed, not really good offensively, but he's an elite defensive player, and he can play. Brian Boyle, believe it or not, can play up or down your lineup. I mean, he's capable of playing with skilled guys. He's capable of matching up with skilled guys. I mean, I remember Rangers against Pittsburgh, where he just had a really big face-off against Sidney Crosby, won it, and then I'm pretty sure it was Game 7, and they scored a goal off on that shift. So,
yep, they did it, actually. I know exactly what player you're talking about. Yeah. Well, it's just one of those annoying guys to play against, too. I mean, he might not do a lot of things on the box
line. That fourth line is going to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
Soshnikov, Martin, and I'm presuming Brian Boyle is going to be the fourth line center.
Yeah.
That is huge, and they're all going to finish their checks. They're going to be pain in the asses, and it's not a matchup line, obviously, but they can definitely, in a pinch, you know, be in for defensive faceoffs, and they can aggravate some really big time players. So I think it's a really good deal when you look at it, and looking at the cost that some of these other guys got. Alex Burrows got Jonathan Dahlin, who's scoring at a point-per-game pace in the Swedish second league. Martin Hansel got three picks. I mean, it's pretty insane what it is, but you know, just the fact that they didn't give up what other people thought they were going to get. They thought that Brian Boyle was going to go for a first-round pick, and they got him for what is probably going to be a pick in the late 40s. So, I mean,
even
also,
in the 50s.
Well, it depends on. They're probably going to be in like the 18s, so 18 plus 31, late 40s, something like that.
It'll be the highest second round pick they have. Yeah. I think another thing too, to what you're saying about this line being difficult to play against, is kind of shaping up to be like that Casey Cizikas, Kyle Clutterbuck, Matt Martin line that we saw with the Islanders, where they were just annoying to play against, and they would go out there against top lines and really shut them down. Another thing too is that he's really referred to as a great teammate. Everybody speaks so highly of Brian Boyle. They say he's a mentor. Everywhere he goes, he doesn't have a lasting impact that is only on the ice. It's throughout the dressing room, and it's things that players remember for the rest of their careers. So I think that's something that's going to pay dividends with this young team further on down the road. Do you guys think he could resign here after the season? He's a UFA to be, so do you think maybe with a good run he might come back?
I think so. I mean, as I said before, he was in a conversation to sign with us before he signed with Tampa. I mean, it didn't make sense for him because we weren't a good team at that time. And, you know, in his conference call, he was just talking about how awesome the young players are and how awesome it is to play in Toronto. So you never know. But if they do and they can get him for, you know, something like 3 years, you know, $2.5 to $3 million, you know, that's nothing. That's a really good signing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he sees Toronto, when he gets here, I think he'll see Toronto as a similar situation as to what the Lightning were. You know, a young team with a lot of skill, and he just has a role to fill. And I agree. If the Leafs can offer him a contract like 3 years at $2.5 million, I think that would be my cap, just based on what you got to pay other guys eventually. I think it could entice him, but again, the UFA market, he's going to obviously test it, and a team could offer him more than that. And it's up to him if he prefers to go towards a contending team. I mean, this guy has played in so many playoff games. I'm sure he just wants a chance to win a cup, and maybe the Leafs will give him that opportunity in the next 2 to 3 years to do that. I don't know how many contenders are going to want a guy like him when they have other needs, or it's going to be a bit of a tougher road for him, possibly. And I think if he enjoys the situation here in Toronto, it makes sense for him to try to win a cup here.
I think, too, depending on the cost, the Leafs will definitely match whatever it is within reason, obviously. But this is literally, if Mike Babcock was to carve out a fourth line center that he would love to deploy every night, he's Brian Boyle. It's
he's
6'6
all the time. He's 6'6 all the time, Chris.
There you go. Say no more. That's literally the biggest Babcock line, and he's just going to say it all the time. He's literally 6'6 all the time, and that's Babcock's perfect guy. Moving on to what else the Leafs need, I think we can unanimously agree that a defenseman would be ideal, obviously, but what we've seen so far, the market, it's going to be a ridiculous asking price. So I think we can maybe scratch off a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk. What would you guys think on that?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, it's going to be a battle between Pittsburgh and Washington, from what Brian Lawton from NHL Network was saying. I mean, I just it doesn't make sense for us right now. Mm-hmm. He does make sense as a free agent, but not right now.
Okay, so what else do the Leafs need, Dave?
Oh, they need. I think they do need one more defenseman. I think they can get by without going for a top four guy like a Shattenkirk. I mean, just because the cost will be too much, and the type of rental the Leafs need. Like, we've talked about this, and I've talked about Brendan Smith being a guy that they've shown interest in, that people have talked about them showing interest in. Again, he's also a free agent, and Chris, I think you were mentioning that Detroit may want to sign him, but the draft will also indicate what a lot of teams do, and I think Brendan Smith could fit well in the Leafs system. He's not playing a lot in Detroit, and Mike Babcock's familiar with him, and he'd be a way better upgrade over Roman Polak. So I think if they're going to do anything, it's going to get a guy like Brendan Smith, a rental that could cost you. I mean, the Leafs will have to maybe trade a lower tier prospect or another player just so that they get the contracts, because they're at 49 right now. So that's what I see them doing. I don't see them making a big splash. I think that will happen in the off season. They're going to get a good understanding, hopefully, if they make the playoffs, what they need, and go through that route instead of trying to pay. I mean, we're only a couple days away from the trade deadline, and this is when teams are pressured to make deals and overpay. So I think the Leafs wanted to get that centerman now, and then the defenseman is something they can look at. If they don't, they don't get it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the rental market, it's going to be tough for them to address the need on defense. Brendan Smith is somebody that, like you were just saying, Elliot Friedman mentioned on Saturday night that the Detroit Red Wings would like to re-sign him. That doesn't mean they're going to, but they obviously would like to, and they're going to try and work out a deal, he was saying. But if talks go south, I mean, they might deal him now instead of waiting until the draft, where they might get less value for him, especially since he's going to be a UFA. So he's an option. Other names I wrote down for potential rental players, again, the market is pretty shit, to be blunt.
Yeah.
Names like Patrick Sharp, Shane Doan, Verbata, Brendan Smith, Steve Ott, Johnny Oduya, and then obviously Kevin Shattenkirk, but we've already talked about him. Anybody else you guys see that appeal? Looking at this list here, I mean, it's a lot of forwards, a lot of rental wingers.
Yeah, and the Leafs, we've talked about this, the Leafs just have so many wingers that there's no really a point in trying to get another winger. I mean, I think right now the only thing that the Leafs can do is maybe look at, see what Josh Leivel's trade value is like, because he's going to be sitting on the bench unless him and Soshnikov rotate. And then if you look at guys that are going to be free agents, there's just not much out there. I don't see the Leafs going. I mean, it'd be nice if they added a veteran guy. I just don't see where they're going to put that guy going forward. And we talked about the defensive market. Johnny Oduya is, if we're going to look at that list, he may be the only, I guess, veteran guy that can bring you something. I mean, he has that experience with Chicago. If you're looking for a guy with playoff experience, which is what they got in Boyle. I mean, a guy like Cody Franzen from Buffalo, I mean...
No.
The issue is, again...
We've been there, come on.
We've been there.
I don't know if any of these guys make you a lot better. That's the thing, right?
Well, Cody Franzen makes you worse. He can't skate. We don't need more guys that can't skate.
That's my point, exactly. So, you want a guy that fits the mold of your team. Boyle did. I don't know who else does. And the defensive market is not great. Like, it's... You look at guys that are going to be free agents this summer. I mean, this could be a very, very slow free agency. The expansion draft is going to change all that. Guys are going to... The teams are just going to be making trades through that way, and Vegas will have a lot to say in that matter. So, I don't see... The only guy that makes sense, and I said it, was Brendan Smith, and that's the only guy I would be targeting.
Anybody else that you see out there, Jake?
Honestly, no.
Yeah, no? Well, what about this idea then? Obviously, they have some dead money in Brooks Like, Milan McCollum, Colin Greening. What if they try to ship one of these guys off to Arizona, who has ample cap space for, let's say, Verbata? I know he's soft. He's not necessarily like a Babcock player, but he's a guy that can score goals. He's proven to put up points in this league. Is that a possibility even? I know it's a stretch, but possibility?
No.
The only reason I don't is just... Again, you're
Verbata is not the type of guy that Mike Babcock would want.
I know. I'm just looking at this market. I'm like, hey, Patrick Sharp, like, the Stars don't want dead money. They want assets. They want picks. They want young players. I don't know if you want to give that up for a guy like Patrick Sharp. And then you look at Arizona. They could take on some dead money, but they probably want some picks too. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what they really have to offer.
But the other thing is their cap situation, because of what they got with Pavel Datsyuk's contract being there. They have, I think, Pronger's contract, Dave Bolin. Holy smokes, that team with all these...
They got dead money galore.
They have so much dead money. And it's just... I think Arizona... Looking at what they have, I mean, Shane Doan is... I mean, his name is obviously out there. Verbata's name is out there. I don't know if a guy like Luke Shen, if his name, I mean, he still has one more year left on his deal. There's just not much out there, and especially with Arizona, they only have so much they can move out for assets. I think Doan is their best one, right? Doan and Verbata are their best, and
yeah, I think Doan's gone. After what he said. I've never heard a guy just sound so disheveled.
He sounds defeated. Like, he's been in Arizona for so long, and he's like, the weather's nice, but I can't take this losing anymore. And losing takes a toll on you. Anybody who's done it before, I can tell you that. Looking at this, though, I mean, the problem that I find is that the teams that match up well with the Leafs as trade partners, they're in a position where they won't want to trade because they're borderline contenders, especially with the West being so wide open. Like, you look at Minnesota, potentially L.A., Nashville, and even Anaheim, if you want to look at just Western teams only. All those teams have a chance to compete this year. So I think that kind of leads us to the whole notion of passing on the trade deadline this year for a defenseman and waiting until the offseason. Would that be fair to say, guys?
Yeah, I think they're done.
Yeah, if the rental market is too high, there's just no point in getting it for a defenseman. Defensemen are always going to go for the most. Just wait until Anaheim has to make a decision. Wait until Minnesota has to make a decision. I think I can't remember what other. LA is going to have to make a decision. Those three teams, you go after the three of them for a defenseman, and you make them sweat it out. Don't make them chase you now.
Okay, well, one team that can make moves right now is the Detroit Red Wings. Does the name like Mike Green appeal to you guys at all? He's got 1 year left on his contract after this year. I know he could be a potential fit as a right shot defenseman, getting older, power play guy. We've talked about him before, but is he a fit, guys?
Yeah, I don't mind Mike Green. I just, I mean, $6 million is his cap hit. I mean, the Leafs can obviously afford the cap hit. It's just, what's the price going to be to acquire a guy like him? What does Detroit want? If Detroit's even shipping him off. But yeah, he would be an ideal guy if the cost is low, and if the Leafs maybe say we won't retain salary and we'll pay a little less to get him, that could work out in their favor. But any team that's expecting a team like Detroit to take on salary is going to have to pay more. And I think the Leafs will have to, if they look at a guy like Green, will have to just say, we'll take the whole salary and we'll give them less. And I don't even know where the price would start for a guy like him.
The thing I don't like about Green is that he's got another year and it's at $6 million. I'd much rather wait and take a shot at getting a Kevin Shattenkirk, who would probably get that for a year. Cause he's, I haven't really watched the Red Wings. I don't know how well Mike Green's doing, but he's got to be like 33 or something like that.
He's okay this year. He's very pedestrian. But mind you, the whole Red Wings team is, so I don't know how much that's really saying. You're more or less buying on the hope that he can invigorate life into what's already the best power play in the NHL. That doesn't even really make sense, but I just...
They only play with one D anyway, so it doesn't really
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't even know if he's a true fit, aside from the fact that he's a right-handed shot.
Well, he's 31, and he has 26 points, 10 goals this season, so...
Well, he's 31 in age, but I think his body might be 35, 36, when you consider how many injuries the guy's had.
I mean, this is not the Mike Green that would score, you know,
25
and put up 70 points. Those, as you said, those injuries did take a toll on him. He was such a great defenseman in Washington, and yeah, injury. I think that does become a problem with the injuries too. I mean, the Leafs have their fair share of guys who are sipping a nice sippy cup on the islands while they nurse some injuries too. So I don't think the Leafs need another guy that have those injury problems.
What do you guys think JVR could get if they were to move him? This is a topic we've talked about at length before, but looking at what a guy like Martin Hanslow got, a first, a second, and a conditional pick that could turn into a first.
That.
I think JVR could even get more than that.
Oh, more.
That's a lot. That is a lot. 2 twos is a lot.
That's what I was wondering too. Is it just because he's a center, or
do you think that's why?
Cause man, you gotta be licking your chops if you're the Leafs when you see that, and you go, okay, well, what could JVR get, or what could Bozak get? Even, you know, these are two guys that are set to expire. Their deals are set to expire after next season. By looks of it, it could be a handsome return. Is that something you guys explore, or no?
Obviously, I would, but I just don't see them dealing any of the guys this year. After making a move to get a guy like Brian Boyle, it kind of seems like they're rewarding the team for putting out the effort and playing so well. And, yeah, it would be kind of a pretty shitty thing to do to trade away one of their best players on their second line that has shown so much promise.
Yeah, and... JVR would be a tough one, and he played really well in that one series against Boston. He's a really good playoff performer, and if Marta comes back healthy, knock on wood, his injury problems will be good, and then Bozak, if he can just, we're not even asking Bozak to up his game, we're just telling Bozak to be dependable or just consistent on that line. I think that line could be huge in a playoff run. And this Atlantic division is wide open. I mean, we saw that with Ottawa now up there, and Montreal is in the mix, and Florida's starting to come back a bit. I think they want to see where it goes with JVR. They're not even in a rush to move him right now. The decision will come in the off season, and whether they want to do something with him. So might as well just keep him. I know Chris Johnson from Sports, I was just reading that Lou didn't talk to reporters after the Brian Boyle deal, meaning that something could still be in the works. So I think they're more intent on keeping guys around and trying to move other contracts to make room. So I don't see the point of moving. I would maybe would have said that before if the Leafs were having struggles, and maybe it's just not a time to make a big push. But they're pushing the management to make the decision to add, not subtract.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, it's just something to kick around just because you never know what you could get for them, clearly, based on what Martin Hanzel got. And we've seen the asking price be pretty ridiculous by itself.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get out of here, guys, I know we all, by the sounds of it, think the Leafs are going to be pretty quiet at the trade deadline. This might be their only move that we see between now and Wednesday. What's one deal you guys think would happen in the NHL that could be big? Is it Matthew Shane trade? Is there a big deal period you guys see happening on Wednesday before 3 o'clock?
I think Shattenkirk and Duchesne are both going to get moved.
Where to where?
I really think that Montreal is gonna deal for Matt Duchesne. They just have to do something. They have probably 1 or 2 years left, and they have to just support the coach that they just signed. I mean, they just paid him, what, $5 million a year? And, you know, yeah, they got lucky. They got lucky in beating the Leafs because they took advantage of some terrible center play by Ben Smith, but they don't look good, and they're losing again to New Jersey.
Yeah. I think Shattenkirk is the piece that gets moved. Duchesne, because it's just such a complicated situation in Colorado and what they want, I mean, what they're reporting that they want, especially, I mean, I don't know how much you can tell from Ottawa what the asking price is, but I think Duchesne, he's going to be a guy that a team will maybe try to get a deal together last minute. I mean, I don't know if you can get a deal together last minute, but I say Shattenkirk to, I want to say New York, because, I mean, New York, it just seems like the type of move they'll make if they have the pieces to get it done. And I because we've seen so many of the guys get traded already, I don't even know who would still be an option. I did read some potential players, and most of them have been traded already. So it's going to be an interesting one, but it could be one where you're waiting for a deal to happen and teams are just not ready to make a move.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I think Shattenkirk and Duchesne will be the two big pieces that get moved. I don't think Shattenkirk is going to go to New York or Boston like he desires. I think the reason for that is just because they know that they can wait until July 1. They have the best chance at signing him, so why spend assets to do it when we've seen the Rangers hemorrhage first-round picks to get players? They don't have a lot left. I don't think they've had one since 2012, so why spend another one for a player that you might not re-sign? So I think they'll just wait. And I'm with Jake. I do think Duchesne's going to get moved. I think the Islanders, the Islanders are Canadians. They could both make a pretty package around either Barzal if you're the Islanders, or Sergachev if you're the Canadians.
Or Noah Juulsen.
Juulsen, too. Like they got pieces in place to make a deal, and they both got windows they got to maximize. And more importantly, Montreal's got to prove to Carey Price that they're serious about being contenders, because he's due up for a new deal after next season. And the Islanders got the same thing with John Tavares, so they got to prove something to these guys. It'll be interesting to watch, guys.
Yeah. Oh, and another guy I'll put out there, too, is Thomas Vanek from Detroit. If Detroit doesn't intend on signing him, he's another guy that people are talking about that could be on the move. So just add another name to the pot there, and he can be a guy that goes to a team looking for another winger like L.A. L.A. definitely needs some offense after they got Bishop.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk right now as we're going to close with the pod that Shattenkirk's going to Washington. It's not confirmed yet, but there's a lot of talk going on about it. Chris Johnson just tweeted out, a couple other guys. It's, I don't know, man. It might be a done deal. If it is, that's huge for the Capitals.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's
so, yeah. That's what I said. I said I thought he was going to go to Pittsburgh or Washington.
Wow.
I mean, it makes sense. They have to beat Pittsburgh, and you know they're playing Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I think this might be one of their last chances, too.
Yeah, this is the best team they've had, I think, in Washington. So adding Shattenkirk only makes them that much better.
Yeah.
All right, guys. On that note, we'll close this out. We'll do it all again after Wednesday's trade deadline. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Tip of the Tower Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti.
You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12. Enjoy the trades, guys, and it might sound like we got a big one right now, so take care.
William Nylander.
Tonight's Mitch Marner.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.